wish to read a few verses, dear friends, in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 17. And we read from verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. And lo, Moses and Elias appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter, answering, said to Jesus, Lord, it is good we should be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, for thee one, and for Moses one, and one for Elias. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. Hear him. And the disciples, hearing it, fell upon their faces and were greatly terrified. And Jesus, coming up, touched them and said, Rise up and be not terrified. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. I just wish to say a few words, dear friends, on a simple impression of seeing Jesus alone. Seeing Jesus alone. I think as being asked to take an address, there's a lot of exercise, there's a lot of concern that what's said is God's word and what God would have to say to us, but also that there might be a word for the moment, that we might get practical help to meet us in the situation and the circumstance that they're in. And my mind was running along a certain line, and I really felt the Lord speak to me on just a couple of days after Graham asked me. On Lord's Day in Malvern, local brother John Turner had asked two friends along to the meeting, and they said they wanted to come along to the morning meeting. So they came along, and I think we were all wondering how they'd got on. And one of the men who came along said that as we were gathered together in the morning meeting, that he had received a vision from the Lord, and he felt that what he saw was the Lord Jesus was going down a valley, and as he was going down the valley, lots of trees disappeared before him. As he came, no one could stand before him. The other man that was with him said, well, Terry, in scripture, trees tend to speak of men, of that which takes on exaggerated importance. And I think what he was saying was that as the Lord came in, everything else and everyone else had to give way. Now, dear friends, I know we have to be careful, but we're perhaps not so used to visions, but we need to ensure that if there is a vision, that it's in line with God's word. That's the key thing. But dear friends, this verse came to me as to seeing no one but Jesus alone. And it's a very simple thought, dear friends. And in one sense, you might say, well, that's quite a basic thought, but I just feel the importance, dear friends, that we've sung in our hymn as to our eyes are seeing. And dear friends, I just have that impression. I trust, dear friends, everyone has seen the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and accepted him into their hearts, dear friend. That's where we need to begin. But I just put the question to you, dear friends, because I say it as much for myself as anyone else, that often our vision gets cluttered. Often other people and other things can get in the way of our vision. And so, dear friends, I just have this thought that we might go away with that they saw no one but Jesus alone. No one but Jesus alone. I trust, dear friends, and I wish to just say a few words as to seeing Jesus, but I trust that everyone's spiritual sight is fundamentally sound. I trust that, dear friends, and that we've all known what it is to see Jesus. Sometimes our spiritual vision needs to be corrected, because a few months back, it was an absolute nuisance I lost my glasses. And so I was left without glasses, and it was interesting because I was really struggling without them. So I went along to Poundland, actually, Corporation Street in Birmingham, and I thought, well, I'm struggling to concentrate, I just need a cheap pair of glasses to keep me going till I go to the opticians. But when I got this pair of glasses, it was even worse than what it was before. It was blurred. It was interesting because when I spoke to the optician said, and in a way I was thankful to hear this, but the optician said, you only marginally need glasses, and your sight is only slightly deteriorated. But the problem is, one eye is slightly worse than the other eye. And if you've got the same, I don't really understand the technicalities of it, but if you've got the same lens in the glasses and it's not accounting for the differences in the eyes, it can cause your vision to go completely blurred. And I just use that as an illustration that I trust, dear friends, I trust that that our spiritual sight is fundamentally sound, and that we are those who love our Lord Jesus. But sometimes, and dear friends, how we can think of Peter and how he loved the Lord, how Peter served the Lord, how Peter, he was misguided at times, but how he loved the Lord. But here, dear friends, Peter's sight needed to just be spiritual, needed to be adjusted. And I just put it to us, dear friends, tonight, maybe, and I say it as much for myself as anyone else, that maybe our spiritual sight just needs to be adjusted, just needs to be altered, so that we might focus back on Jesus alone, dear friends, on Jesus alone. But I appreciate in an address there's only so much you can cover, so, but I just say briefly, dear friends, that it's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful study in the scriptures to look at those who saw Jesus and the various aspects that we can look at as to seeing Jesus. It's wonderful, isn't it, that God has made himself known in the person of the Son, and God, as we sometimes see, God manifests, God seen and heard. So it's wonderful, dear friends, and I encourage you, dear friends, to look on and to see the pathway of our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is. I love that verse. It says this to John the Baptist, doesn't it? As to looking at Jesus as he walked, he cried, "Behold the Lamb of God." What it is, dear friends, to look and to see that wonderful pathway of the Lord Jesus Christ. That could be an address in itself, couldn't it? We need that, dear friends. We need to see Jesus in his pathway here, and see Jesus alone as the one who is completely distinctive, the one who is completely unique, the one who excelled in love to God and love for one another, the one who was alone, the one who was distinctive in terms of the love and the care and the compassion that he has, and the one who is completely alone, completely distinct in terms of his righteousness and faithfulness to God. And then, dear friends, it's a wonderful thing, dear friends, of course, there was that moment when no eye could see, when the Lord Jesus was forsaken and darkness was over the face of the whole earth. But it's wonderful too to look and to see our Lord Jesus upon the cross, and to think of all he suffered, dear friends. What a thing it is, dear friends, as the hymn says, I sometimes think about the cross and shut my eyes and try to see. Dear friends, have you done that? Have you seen Jesus as the one who suffered and died for our sins, dear friend? What a sight it is. Have you seen the blood of Jesus, dear friends? It's a wonderful thing that we can by faith we can see the Lord Jesus as the one who has shed his precious blood. And then, dear friends, I love what it says in Hebrews, that by faith that we see Jesus crowned with glory and honour. Isn't that wonderful, dear friends? We look upon the lonely pathway, we look upon the cross, and then, dear friends, we can look upon him as a glorious living man, set at God's right hand, crowned with glory and honour. That's what we sung of in our hymn, didn't we? Again, what a subject. We see Jesus, crowned with glory and honour. Isn't that wonderful? Think, dear friends, as to Stephen and what it must have been, those stones were raining upon him, and yet his eyes, dear friends, he could see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Dear friends, oh, dear friends, look at Jesus. See Jesus, dear friends. What a wonderful person he is to see. I'll perhaps say a bit later as to seeing the Lord Jesus face to face, and what a time, what a moment that will be, dear friends. But I just say, dear friends, for our encouragement, I say to the children, look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. See Jesus. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus is not far off. It's, dear friends, in many ways, when I was a teenager, I got away from the Lord. People perhaps didn't know it, but I got away from the Lord. But one thing that helped me bring me back to the Lord was, I can't remember how old I was, but I got a real impression as to seeing Jesus, dear friends. Seeing Jesus. And dear friends, ask the Holy Spirit, dear friends, to help us see Jesus. The Spirit has come that he might open the eyes of our hearts so that we might see Jesus. And so, dear friends, we're in a room full of those who see Jesus, who follow Jesus. But what I'm speaking about is not just for the older people, it's not just for the middle-aged people, it's not just for us young adults, but it's for everyone, that we can see Jesus, dear friends. He's not far off, dear friends. He's not far off. Ask the Spirit to help you to see Jesus. There's nothing like it. There is no one like Jesus in all his beauty. There is no one like Jesus in all his loveliness, dear friends. Ask the Spirit to show you Jesus, dear friends. There is nothing like seeing Jesus. Well, you might say, well, Charles, how is it? Someone said to me the other day, well, how is it you can follow something that you can't literally see? Well, dear friends, we see by faith, but it's interesting because I can't see the wind, or we can perhaps see how the sky is changing, but the weather forecast, well, they say it's sunny one day and it's wet the next. Well, how do they know it's going to be wet the next day? Well, because there's evidence. And dear friends, it's wonderful that we're in that, that whilst we can't literally see Jesus, dear friends, how wonderful it is by faith. What a wonderful and real experience it is, dear friends. It's not fiction or it's not fancy. And dear friends, wonderful, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is one of the most historically attested to facts. There's witness, dear friends, to the fact in this book, numerous witnesses to the fact that the Lord Jesus was raised from among the dead. But we're in a room full of witnesses, dear friends. If you want to see Jesus, ask others, dear friends, about their experience of seeing Jesus. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus is a real person, so we might not literally be able to see him, but, dear friends, in the same way that we can see the effects of the wind all around us, dear friends, if you're in any doubt as to whether Jesus exists and whether you can see him, look around you, dear friends. Look around you and see the effect that seeing Jesus has had on the life of believers, dear friends. I encourage you to do that. But, dear friends, see Jesus for yourself, dear friends. See Jesus for yourself. I just encourage you, dear friends, to see Jesus. I wish I could outline it more fully. I'm aware of what a simple impression it is, but I just encourage you, dear friends, to see Jesus. There's no one like Jesus, dear friend. There's no one like him. Dear friends, see Jesus. Get a view of Jesus, dear friends. So I just wish to say a few words, if it's all right, personally as to that we might see Jesus alone, perhaps as individuals and in our individual pathways, and then perhaps just a few words as to collectively how we might see Jesus alone. Because, dear friends, again, I can't really say it enough as to the importance of getting a view of Jesus. But sometimes, dear friends, and I say to myself, that our view gets cluttered and things get in the way. Now, Peter was wrong here, but it's interesting because we might think of the things that get in the way. We might think of them as literal idols or literal things. We might say, well, we're not like that. You know, people make People make idols, don't they, of people make literal idols of religious figures, but people make idols of all sorts of things in this world, don't they? They make idols of politicians, they make idols of intellectuals, they make idols of sportsmen, of footballers. Trust you, don't mind me saying it, but those who know me know that I'm a Manchester United fan, and a few years back when I was really keen on Manchester United when they were actually a good team, there was a player, Ruud van Nistelrooy, and he kept scoring over and over again, and as a boy he was my idol. Well, he wasn't exactly my idol, but he was this hero who kept scoring over and over and over again. But dear friends, idols might not necessarily, but sometimes, dear friends, the idols are not necessarily what we see around us in the world. They might be more subtle. They might come in more subtly. And dear friends, it might be a whole range of things. Then perhaps, dear friends, our view gets pounded by our family. Perhaps our view gets pounded by our friends. Perhaps our view gets pounded by our reputation. Perhaps it's our possessions, dear friends. Now, dear friends, I know there's so much you can cover in an address. So I'm not going to say too much as to it. But, dear friends, I just ask you, because we're all the things, dear friends, that might appeal to me might not necessarily appeal to you. But, dear friends, I just ask you, and I just appeal to you tenderly, dear friends, is there something clouding your vision? Is there something that's getting in the way, dear friends? Whatever it is, dear friends, speak to Jesus alone. I just encourage you to do that, dear friends. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. I feel, dear friends, in many ways it's ironic that I'm here this evening, because I feel what a poor Christian I am. I feel how little I systematically read the scriptures. I feel how little I spend time on my knees, but one thing I can tell you, dear friends, is that there's nothing like getting into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing like spending time with him. And again, dear friends, I say that God has not set before us glorious impossibilities. God has not set before us things that take a lifetime to work up to, dear friends. The Lord Jesus, I say it carefully, but the Lord Jesus is a real man. Is a real person, and there's nothing like just being in his presence. Sometimes, dear friend, God needs to correct us. Think of this voice here, dear friends. This is my beloved son. That, dear friend, is the one that we need to look at. Dear friends, he is God's beloved son. Hear him. We must listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus. But I suppose the disciples were corrected here, and sometimes, dear friends, as coming into the Lord's presence, the Lord has to rebuke us. There's things the Lord has to say to us. Charles, you're making too much of your work. Charles, you're making too much of this or that. You're not spending enough time with me. But dear friends, there's nothing like looking at Jesus, and there's nothing like the touch of Jesus, dear friends. Isn't it a lovely touch here? And Jesus coming to them, touched them, and said, "Rise up and be not terrified." Dear friends, I just say to you that, and I just leave it with you, I could give more illustrations. I know what it is in my own life that clouds my vision. But if there is something, dear friends, if you're not looking at Jesus alone, just come into his presence, dear friends. Come into his presence. He'll help put your vision right, dear friends. The Lord Jesus is righteous and he's faithful. But what a loving friend he is. What a wonderful person he is. And he just wants to touch you, dear friends, and put things right. Isn't that a lovely thought? Jesus touched them and said, "Rise up, be not terrified." Dear friends, that's what the Lord Jesus would say to you, dear friends. And he would leave you with an impression of his love, dear friends. He would leave you with an impression of his care. And so I just encourage you, dear friends, whatever it is individually that appeals to you but gets in the way, just come into the presence and come into the Lord's presence and see Jesus alone. See Jesus alone. I meant to say also that sometimes, sometimes it takes exercise to see Jesus. Sometimes things get in the way, but it's amazing, isn't it? Matthew here records not only did they go into a mountain, but a high mountain. They had to climb to see this wonderful scene. I love those Greeks who came. They came all the way, didn't they? And what did they say? Sir, we desire to see Jesus. Wonderful, isn't it? They travelled all the way from Greece. Do you think they went away disappointed, dear friends? And Zacchaeus, he had a certain obstacle to overcome, didn't he? But he desired to see Jesus and he had to climb the tree. Now, dear friends, whether it's a mountain, whether it's a tree, whatever it is, dear friends, get a view of Jesus. Get into his presence, dear friend. That is the key to our spiritual prosperity, to see Jesus alone, dear friends, in all his distinctiveness, dear friends. So may each one of us get a view of Jesus alone. I just wish to close by saying, dear friends, that may we all together also seek to see Jesus alone. Dear friends, there's many exercises, there's many questions, and dear friends, in one sense, if you ask me, where are we going to be in 5 years? How are exercises going to work out? I don't have a formula, dear friends. I don't have an answer, dear friends, myself. But, dear friends, we must, each one of us, get our eyes on Jesus alone. Jesus alone. In saying this, dear friends, I'm not wishing to be critical in any way, because, dear friends, I greatly appreciate my upbringing, and I appreciate those who, particularly when I was a teenager, really helped me. But it's quite amazing to think, in my very short lifetime, how quickly things have changed, how quickly circumstances change. I can remember some of you younger folks going to three-day meetings up in Scotland, 500 Bradley. Very able brothers who were able to take three-day meetings and set things out, and very helpful and good teaching. And I appreciate that, I value that. But, dear friends, we must rely on Jesus alone. We must get our direction from Jesus alone. Maybe, dear friends, maybe historically, we rely too much. Those who had a gift, who were able to minister, and we appreciate them. But, dear friends, we need to get our direction from Jesus alone. We can't over-rely on anyone for our spiritual direction. I sometimes think, you know, with exercises, well, wouldn't it be nice if there was an authoritative brother or authoritative brothers who could say, well, this is the direction that we're going. But, dear friends, the Lord has led us a certain way. But we must, dear friends, we must look to Jesus alone. Dear friends, it's interesting, I meant to count it up, I forgot to do it, but Paul says us to being imitators, and he was an apostle, but there is only one man that we're to follow. I think it's about 70 times it says in the gospel as to following Jesus, and he's the one, dear friends, that we're to follow. He is the one who is our leader, dear friends. And I just set this before us, dear friends. How are we going to go forwards? How are we going to work out exercises? How are we going to resolve questions, dear friends? I don't have the answer, but Jesus alone does, dear friends. If we all, each one of us, are really exercised to get into the Lord's presence, the Lord would, I think, the past few years have been very difficult. The past few years there's been so much change, it's been tough. But, dear friends, I think the Lord is searching us as to, are we relying on him? Are we relying on his direction? Are we seeking his guidance? Dear friends, how we appreciate, and I've appreciated it, for help, support and direction of one another. How important, how valuable it is, dear friends. May we continue to value it. In the multitude of counsellors, there is safety. But, dear friends, we must follow, and we must get our direction from Jesus alone. If we all individually do it, if we all individually, collectively, if we all individually have the exercise to be with the Lord about things and to follow Jesus, he will direct us. He will lead us, dear friends. So may we be those who follow Jesus alone, dear friends. May we be those who know what it is to get into the Lord's presence and to see his mind and his direction, dear friends. Jesus alone. We need to see no one but Jesus alone, because he is the leader. He is the captain. He is the one that we follow, dear friends. Maybe those who are following the Lord Jesus. We value those who are around us, but dear friends, sometimes the props, the supports that we rely on, sometimes the Lord takes them away. It'll be 4 years tomorrow that the Lord brought my mum home. And I often think when we, and I'm sure others can testify to this, when we grow up, when we're adults, we don't need our parents for day-to-day things. But sometimes when we have difficult decisions, when we have things that are really challenging, we think, wouldn't it be nice to ask a parent? Wouldn't it be nice to ask mum what she would think about this or that? Sometimes, dear friends, how much we value our families, how we're to value our friends and our families, but dear friends, we must look to Jesus alone. Dear friends, we must do that. We can't rely on someone else's faith. Even at the end of John's Gospel, think of how much dear Peter had learned, how he had wept bitterly of what it must have been, what emotional torture he went through. And yet, even then, after having denied the Lord, he says this to John, "And Lord, what is that? What of this man?" I forget the exact words I was going to quote that ends, "Follow thou me." We all individually, dear friends, we can't, and I'm saying this sensitively, but we can't over rely on anyone or anything. We need to rely, dear friends, on Jesus alone. Jesus alone. So, dear friends, I wish I could have outlined it more fully, but I trust that we are those who get a view of Jesus, who see Jesus, who in our personal lives, as seeing Jesus, dear friends, that we get a clear view of him and that we are undistracted in his service, and that collectively, dear friends, we are all looking to Jesus alone. I just say two things very, very quickly in closing. The first is that the bright and blessed prospect we have is to seeing the Lord Jesus face to face. What a time that will be, dear friends, when we shall see that lovely face, when we shall see the face of Jesus, dear friends. The one, that is the time, dear friends, when faith will give way to sight. What it would be to actually be in his presence and to see him face to face. What a bright and blessed prospect that is. And dear friends, at the moment, it's a time of seeing Jesus alone because it's a time of faith. But dear friends, we read, every eye shall see him. What it would be, we don't get many of them, but I love thunderstorms, and you can even shut the curtains and you can still see the thunder. You can still see the lightning. And it says, as the lightning goes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Dear friends, what it would be, every eye shall see him. And dear friends, I just say lastly, and the main thing that I wanted to do is, I've really not wanted it to sound like a lecture, but just in terms of why it's important to look at Jesus and why it's important to see him, we're here for three reasons: to serve God, to serve one another, and to serve men, women, and children who do not know God. Dear friends, if we see Jesus, if we're looking on the one who is the Son of God, how that will help us in loving and serving God. Because if we're following and we love the one who is the Son of God, that will help us in terms of loving God and serving God. Dear friends, if I'm seeing Jesus, if I'm in his presence, I will be like him. And if I will be like him, dear friends, that will help me serve one another. That if I see Christ, if I'm used to being in Christ's presence, if I'm used to seeing him, I will see Christ and features of Christ in my brother and sister. So that will help us too there. And dear friends, we will be like us, seeing Christ, we will be like him. We used to sing at primary school, "As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our graces display your likeness. Ever changing from glory to glory, nearer to him may our lives tell the story. Shine, Jesus, shine." Dear friends, that's how we're going to shine in this dark, sad world, dear friends. How else are we going to be a testimony to others, to those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not looking at him, dear friends? And as we look at him, we become like him. For the scripture says that when we see him, we should be like him. But we shall see him as he is. May we be those who are looking at Jesus, dear friends, and longing for his return. May the Lord bless these few words for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.